Hello and welcome to the Adoption and Fostering podcast. In this episode, I speak to adoptive parent Carolyn. She shares her family's story of adoption after a protracted assessment process and the challenges of introducing her son to her family. Now, nearly 6 years on, life is very different to the one expected, with complex needs emerging that have had life-altering consequences for the whole family. Carolyn is honest and frank in relation to her experience and presents a clear view of many adopters' experience. As always, if you've experienced adoption, fostering or special guardianship from any perspective and would like to share that on the podcast, please get in touch through Facebook or Twitter page, or you can email us at andfpodcast@gmail.com.
Hello, I'm Carolyn, and I'm an adoptive mum. We adopted our son 6 years ago. We also had a birth daughter as well. We found the whole process to adoption quite long, quite difficult, not just for us, but for our daughter as well, managing expectations, not really knowing what to expect either. But, you know, we got there. It took us 2 years to get to the end bit where we got in.
So tell me why, what brought you to adoption? Because I know you've got an unusual story. So what brought you to the door of adoption?
So I've always wanted to adopt. I'd already had a daughter in a previous marriage. So for me, I'd done that. I was quite happy to go straight on to adoption. My husband is adopted, and he wanted to try first to see whether we could, you know, have our own children naturally. When it became apparent that it wasn't going to work, he agreed to that we would go down the adoption route. I grew up, and when I was growing up, my mum fostered children as well. So for me, it's natural, it's normal, you know. A family's just who's there, isn't it? It's not blood, really. You know, that plot didn't bother me. I had questions, you know. Oh, do you really want to do that? Do you not want your own kids? He is mine. You know, do you love him as much as you love your daughter? I think that's a good one. And, you know, love grows, doesn't it? It just happens. It's not there straight away. I don't feel it was when I gave birth to my daughter, though. It takes time. You know, you've got to bond with these little people, haven't you? So that did not worry me in the slightest. And it happens, and it comes, and they're just both our children. And that's it.
I mean, you mentioned there that it took you 2 years to get approved, which is sort of way over than the expected time limit, or whatever that is, 6 months.
Yeah. So I think when we were doing it, which was 2013, 14, or 14, 15, it should have been 9 months. We've both been married before. My husband had a tricky first marriage with some, it was just messy, accusations, blah, blah, blah. So it took our social worker 2 years to get in writing the proof that what had been said was incorrect. After we'd got through, it was really quick at the other end for us. It was literally 6 weeks from being approved to meeting our son's family finder and social worker, which is really quick. Often people go through the process quickly, but wait at the other end. We just had it the other way around. There was people that we'd done our prep groups with who still adopted after us, but had been approved after 9 months, and we were still. There was, because of the severity of the accusations that had been made, we held off on some groups because we wanted our social worker to do more digging to make sure that she was confident we'd be okay before we properly invested in it, because it's a massive thing, you know.
Were you not tempted to give up? I mean, 2 years and it's lots of digging around.
Yeah, we had some breaks. We got married. I think we'd got approved in, it would have been 2016 in the January. We got approved in the August before that. We got married. We took some time off when my daughter started school, because it was just, it's just a big thing, isn't it? And we just, while our social worker gathered our evidence, because there was nothing we could do. It, you know, there was times where both of us thought, I can't do this, this is too intrusive, but we weren't ever both on that page together, luckily, otherwise we wouldn't have him. Yeah. So, but it was, you know, looking back now, it was 100% worth the wait. At the time, you don't know if it's worth it, do you?
Well, no, I mean, you it's a sort of a bit of a chance, isn't it? And how did panel go then? Because obviously you've got a complicated Form F, and I mentioned to you before that I've sat on panels, and you know, it's a high pressure environment for families and social workers. You know, they're making a recommendation.
Panel was hard because of the severity of the stuff that my husband's ex had said. We had legal representative sat on the panel. They have to do so many a year, but our social worker advised that he needed to do ours just so we could tell the panel to be proven to be not correct, not the truth. So panel was, it was awful. We didn't get a unanimous yes, which was awful again.
And unusual.
So we had like really unusual. We at matching panel, it was unanimous. And I tell you what, that feeling was just brilliant. I didn't walk out of approval feeling like that. I walked out of approval thinking, I don't care what they say, because I'm not doing that again. So we're just never going to do this. Obviously, we got over it.
Well, but I mean, for a lot of people, it's a huge moment of celebration, isn't it? It's like you've invested all this time.
And it wasn't for us.
Yeah.
It wasn't. But, you know, it's just one more thing, isn't it? It was just one more tricky thing we had to do. And we did it and it was okay.
How did you manage because obviously you've got a little girl.
She didn't know we were doing it. She didn't know any of it. She knew, obviously, she'd met the social worker because they're pretty much parent assessing me, aren't they?
Yeah.
So she knew who our social worker was. They had a really good relationship, still do. She didn't know anything until we were at matching panel, really. Hmm. When we knew, we just drip fed a teeny, teeny bit. When we'd been approved, we then started reading bedtime stories that were like adoption stories, like how families come together, you know. Then when we knew it was our son, then she wanted a girl, obviously, because she's a girl. She wanted a baby sister. When we knew it was a boy, we turned it around on the social worker and said that she's found this baby boy, blah, blah, blah. We think, and actually, I think, to be honest, by then, John and I tried for a baby for 2 years. We'd then done this process for 2 years. She was just, give us whatever, I'll have anything. So she wasn't that bothered in the end. Yeah. We, after matching panel, we saw foster mum gave us loads of pictures so we could, she had something to look at then, because it was unanimous.
Yeah.
It was safe then to share the pictures with her. And that's when she knew about it, really.
Right. Could you tell me a little bit about family finding then, about, you know, when, you know, because you've gone through this what really rigorous process of being approved and you finally get over the line. And did you not just want to take some time off, or were you just kind of like, right, let's do this?
And no. I felt like, so we did our adoption through, not through the local authority, we did it through an agency, a charity run agency. We looked at every different option, and that was, we liked this agency. Fortunately, they all closed down, a lot of them closed down, didn't they? So it wasn't quite as hunky-dory as we thought it was going to be. But anyway, we wouldn't have him if we'd not have gone through them. So we could look out of county, and we just got access to a website for us so we could search for our own. And I tell you what, those 4 years seemed shorter than the 6 weeks we were looking. It felt like every day felt like a year. I'm like, oh, come on already. I found that part the hardest by far. It was, just give me a kid. Come on, we're approved now. I'll have any.
What was your approval status? Was there an age range, a sex, you know, any specific requirements?
We didn't specify sex. As young as possible, but old enough to know that there's not too much. So we wanted to know that, like, developmentally they were on target. We wanted as normal as we could get, not because for any other reason than we had children already. We wanted to be able to enjoy a typical family life. I wanted my daughter to have a normal sibling relationship. I mean, obviously with adoption, it's not that plain sailing and you don't really get what you think you're getting anyway, but, you know, later on, it just is what it is, isn't it? But so that we, our social worker, I felt a bit guilty saying no to things like Down syndrome or saying no to things like learning disabilities. And our social worker just said to me, you know, this is the one perk of adoption. You've be true to what you think you can deal with, what you want your family to look like. No one's judging you for saying no. Because, you know, when I was pregnant, I didn't have any of the Down syndrome tests. I didn't have, because she was my baby and should be my baby, whatever. And she says, but this is totally different. You know, you can be selfish here. So if, you know, if you want a girl, have a girl. If you want, I mean, we weren't that bothered either way, yeah. Really. We weren't bothered at all. My husband wanted a boy. But we, you know, that's not why we got him anyway, but he did want a boy and I wasn't bothered and we got a boy. But yeah, it's... Mm-hmm.
So then you moved, you know, to introductions. Tell me a little bit about introductions, because obviously you've got through matching panel, unanimous yes. Did you move straight to introductions after you'd got that had been signed off?
It was really quick. It was really, really quick. They managed to get everything signed off quicker than it should have been, because our son had an appointment that they wanted us to attend. Something about the shape of his head. They'd been under some specialists, so they wanted us to be at that appointment. So it was really quick. Our introductions, we met him. We'd literally had the external verifier. It takes some 10, 11 days, something like that, doesn't it, from the panel date. So their decision came through one day and our introduction started the next day. It was super quick and it was starting regardless because of this appointment. So we met him one morning, and then that afternoon we met Birth Mum, which was good. We are both really pleased that we did it. It's hard. It's emotional. I felt really guilty. I felt like I was taking a child away from her. I felt sad for her that she couldn't do this. So now we are. We told her everything we could without being too, you know, giving anything away. We told her that, you know, he's got a sister, he's got cousins, he's got this, he's got that. And in the end, we were as open as we could be with her. We asked her a million questions and wrote the answers down. So when our son turns around when he's 10 and says, oh, when so-and-so was pregnant, and I can go, actually, yeah, I've got that. You know, I've asked that question. We'd Googled the life out of it, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
So asked lots of questions that people had, you know, suggested. And in the end, birth mum had told us that she was really pleased that they'd found us, that she's glad it was us, that she approved of us. And that meant a lot. Mm. It really did. The fact that I can go to my son when he's ready for the information and say, you know, she liked us. You know, she wasn't cross, that, you know, she wasn't angry, she wasn't rude, she was nice. You know, we hugged her goodbye. We had a photo taken with her. You know, it was as good as it could have been.
Yeah, and I guess those things...
better than most, in all honesty.
Yeah, those things last, don't they? They're valuable and, you know, you'll always be able to sort of reflect that to him, the positive experience, despite the difficulties of it all. But that sounds like one hell of a day to meet your son and then meet his mum.
Because you feel like she knows him more than I do at this point as well. So I'm still a bit like, oh, like, you actually gave birth to him, but I'm his mom. Like, how does that even work? And then the next day we went home. It was, he was from a couple of hours away. It was a couple of hours drive. So then the next day we took our daughter, who at the time was 5, to meet him. obviously my expectations were like super high, and it wasn't that good. She was twisty. He wasn't what she expected. He was running away from her. It was stressful. I struggled because I felt like I couldn't give him too much attention because she was so jealous. It was hard. In the end, foster mum had done this a million times before. And she says, oh, let's just put them in the bath. Let them have a bath. They can't run away from her. And that's what we did. And we ended on a nice note. And then we had one day at home, and then my husband and I went up on our own from Monday to Thursday, came back Thursday to get her from school, and that was it. And then he came to us on Friday, and
it's pretty intense.
That's it. He trusted me with this little thing that I didn't really know that
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. I mean, and so sort of those first days and weeks after you've all, you know, everyone, it's all gone, this busy experience, and then the door shuts on the Friday and everything goes quiet. So what was that like, you know?
Nerve-wracking. Like, I mean, the pressure of him not falling over and splitting his head open is real, isn't it? You know, has this child got a social worker question when you attend A&E? Because you know it's going to happen. Actually, yes, he does. So it was like we wanted to wrap him in bubble wrap until he was legally ours, because we have realistic expectations and so do social services.
Yeah.
But your head's not where it normally is, in that you feel like you are in this goldfish bowl and everyone is looking and judging. And they're not judging you at all. But in your head, You don't want to put a foot wrong. You want everyone to think it's all perfect. And actually, it's never perfect anyway, is it? It's not perfect now. No one is. But you just want to do it right. I wanted him to be settled. I wanted him to be happy. I wanted my daughter to be happy. And actually, I've come to realise I can never make two children happy at the same time sometimes. So
did you take adoption leave? Did you manage to get time off work, or did your husband do that?
I took adoption leave. I ended up having... So I was going to have a year off. After 10 months, I was ready to go back and have some normal conversation. Our son was hard work from day one. He was an anxious little boy. Sleep was bad. It wasn't easy. Behavioural problems were present straight away, really, although no professional will look at them until they're older. So by 10 months, Dad says, right, I'm going back because I need to. So my husband just took some random days so I could go back to work part-time, and that's how we did it.
Because it's a big pressure, isn't it, to make this perfect family?
It was... I was ready to work. And a lot of the people, you know, that you meet through adoption, I've made some amazing friends through the adoption circles in various different places. But, you know, you look at some and you think, God, their kid's so good, or they're not going back to work. And actually, so what? If they don't want to, that's fine. I was desperate to, like, desperate. But for me, like, that's me. You know, I want to go. Like, I just don't want to be someone's mum. Not all the time. Like, I love being two people's mums. I really do. But I also like being me.
No.
Some people don't need that, do they? And some people thrive on being at home. And
no, I mean, we're all different, are we? And there's no right or wrong way. And I think that sometimes there's this sort of mythology around adoptive families being these little beautiful homesteads and everything's all well. But that's not, it's rarely the case, if we're honest, isn't it? So tell me then, I mean, we're 5 years on from that now. What does life look like now?
It doesn't look how we thought it would look. Very different to what we'd envisaged it would look like. 5 years on, well, 6 years on. So about 18 months ago, we finally got some assessments done on our son. He was diagnosed with moderate learning difficulties. Then under CAMHS LD services, and then we've had ADHD diagnosis. We've got waiting on a diagnosis for ASD, if it is ASD, where he's had the assessments. We're just waiting on what the consultant decides. You know, possible FADS. I mean, I say possible, it's highly likely. Like a lot of our children, I suppose, trickier to get diagnosed. So... You know, our life is quite regimented. It's quite samey. There's not a lot of spontaneous stuff goes on in it because our son can't cope with it. At first, I felt so guilty that my daughter's life was going to be different to how. But actually, I can't. You can't do it every way. And actually... Yeah. Everyone just needs to be happy and safe, don't they? You know, even to the point where after how tricky Christmas was, someone had says, why do you bother having a tree? Why decorate the house? And I says, well, because of Bella. And they're like, well, ask her if she's even that bothered. And she's not. They want the presents on Christmas Day. You know, that. So, you know, I think... Now we know more about what the needs are and what what we're looking at, I feel more equipped to deal with the behaviours that we have, you know, how he presents.
No.
It doesn't make it easier, does it? But, you know, I've come to terms with the fact that our life looks extremely different. You know, the people that we socialise with are not the people that we'd started out on the journey with. Since we've been under SEND services, I've met the most incredible people. And, you know, I'm so thankful for the amazing friends that we have. I'm thankful that I've got people I can text at the end of a day and go, God, that was awful. Or say whatever I want. And I know they're not judging me. They know I still do love them. Just don't like them today. You know, and you need people like that. Otherwise, you would go mad. You would honestly go mad. I mean, you know, our son's finding school super tricky, even in a specialist school. He's only in 2 days a week. You know, managing that with two full-time work parents and whatever else is hard. You know, managing home life, you know, a nearly teenager who's in senior school and him, and trying to fight the local authorities for the school I need, to appeal decisions that have been made wrongly. It's just hard, isn't it? You know, you never would think that you would know as much as you do about things that you never had even heard of.
I mean,
until you end up in this system. And the fight that you've got to have to keep going, because it would be so easy to go, oh, do you know what, I can't do this anymore, I can't do this one. But you can't, because there's a little boy who needs this.
Yeah. I was thinking, you mentioned there when you were talking about matching, so going back then, you know, the social worker had said, you know, be honest, and you'd been really clear about what you felt you could and not cope with, but felt what you wanted and didn't want, and you were thinking about your whole family, not just you. You think about how, what does it look like for us? And a lesser person might. Well, yeah, and a lesser person might be sat here 5-6 years on, going, "Ah, was I drawn into something? Was I hoodwinked, or was I?" But that's not what you're saying, is it, at all?
No, we chose him. We were sent 7 or 8 profiles of different cute kids, you know, between 6 months and 2 years, by a social worker. I was at work, husband was at work. I'd look through them straight away, so would he. And I'd text him and says, look, I've chosen one out of this, but I've got a favourite out of this. He says, oh, me too. I says, well, just leave it and we'll catch up tonight. When we sat down, when my daughter was in bed, obviously, and I says, right, show me which one. And it was the same one. We both went for him. He didn't look the best on paper, not as good as some of them. But neither of us can tell you why, but it was him. It was always him. You know, because we had like access to search for our own, we had 6 weeks of searching until we met our son's family finder and social worker. We'd got down to the final 3 adopters, couples, for quite a few kids. And I tell you what, every time it hurt, every time it almost felt like we'd lost a baby, which we hadn't. But you just invest so much in it, even though you try not to let yourself run away with it. You know, I've seen a picture of this one. I know a lot about them, to say that they're not mine. You place them in your family, don't you? You imagine what it's going to be like, and then they turn around and say, oh, you didn't quite make it. And it was hard. And then with him, there was just something. I didn't have it with the others. It was just with him. I mean, he's beautiful.
Yeah. But like you say, there's a certain chemistry, isn't there? There's a spark.
Just, I can't even say why or how.
a big question mm-hmm. about adoption. What do you think about adoption now? You know, if someone was came to you and said, I'm thinking of adopting, what do you say to them?
I'm really honest to people. My bestest friend is just adopted. And literally 3 months, I think, she's had her now. So I've said to her all through her journey when she's been at mine and she's witnessed the tantrums and there's someone else in the house and he can't cope with it. You know, he's kicking off. And I'm like, do you really want to do this? Like, you don't have to put up with this. I do. He's mine now, but you don't. She's like, oh, I love him. I'm crazy. You know, we've had some really bad times, really, really difficult. Like, the last couple of years has been really, really hard, you know, and during those bad bits, you know, I've openly said to my husband and to friends, if I knew then what I know now, I wouldn't have done it. And, you know, today he's been in some respite today. He goes to a farm one day a week, an alternative school provision. So he's going respite one day a week there. Like, today I don't feel like that, but I've only seen him for a few hours. You know, when you've had a day where you're being hit and kicked and spat at and bit and you're breaking up fights between him and his sister and he's hurting the dogs and you just think, do you know what? No one would ever turn around and say that's what they wanted, because it isn't. No one wants that, do they? You don't. No one goes into adoption thinking, I want the most challenging kid there is. I'll have that one. I wanted a perfect one. A one that would sleep and eat and not have like sensory needs and not have, but we're there now, aren't we? And he's ours. So, but I am brutally honest. I think you've got to, because it's unfair, isn't it? I mean, I didn't go into it with rose-tinted glasses, but means, but I still didn't but expect
nevertheless,
it to be this hard.
You're still saying, you know, you've described what sounds like a really difficult, life-altering level of challenge you're all facing as a family, but there's still this determination still this commitment and love. And
in the back of even when I don't like him but I love him, In the back of my head, I still have to think it's not his fault. He's not done this. He's not, you know, the only time I've ever felt anger towards his birth mom is when we got the moderate LD diagnosis and then whatever comes after. Because I just think, you've done this to him. You know, he's not asked for this. He's not. He's not asked for any of it. And you've got to think that, otherwise it would just break. It would. And I mean, you know, we've both sat there at times and said, how long can we manage this level of risk? You know, the risk to, you know, I mean, our daughter has had private counselling because of how tricky it is at home. He's in therapy anyway, and we get, you know, access to the adoption support fund, but she doesn't. And so we fund hers, worth every penny, because the last thing I want is a teenage daughter with issues around family and brother and, you know. And it's hard. I feel like she puts up with way more than she should. But then you would just eat yourself up, wouldn't you? So actually, the only way I can look at it is I could have given birth to a child with significant and complex needs. I could have. You know, you don't choose what you get, do you? Anyway, through adoption.
To be a parent is to kind of embrace a level of risk, isn't it? And uncertainty, and the future is what the future is.
Yes.
So what do you, say to people when they come to you?
And, you know, I think
they say, I want to adopt. Do you say yes? Do you say no? Do you say, you know, because it sounds like it's a complicated message. It's the best thing. It's the worst thing.
I would just say, you know, make sure you know as much about it as you possibly can. It's not easy. It's actually the hardest thing that I've ever done. You know, if your marriage isn't strong enough, I tell you, having kids, it's going to make or break it. Adoptions, you know, further, isn't it? There's no way a marriage can, a rocky one can withstand going through adoption and everything that that throws at you. You know, I didn't ever expect to be on the path that we're on, the send path, the, you know, not knowing what his future is going to look like. You know, you have kids and you want to raise nice, well-rounded children that are going to fly the nest and go and do whatever makes them happy. I've never been, you know, I don't care what they do. I want them to be happy. But actually, I just need him to function in society. And I think that not knowing how he will, that's hard. That, you know, it's not a nice thought. But all we can do is give him as much help and support now. You know, you're the only advocate they've got. They haven't got a voice, have they? You know, I feel sometimes I can jump in too quickly or come across a bit abrupt. You know, we'd been on holiday recently and we're stood to check in our bags, and the woman checking them in is like looking at everyone, and it's like pretty obvious who everyone is. But anyway, I'm like stressed. His ADHD meds have worn off. I know the flight's going to be horrific. I'm just thinking, just get me bags. Let us go and get him some dinner. And she's like, oh, what's your date of birth to my son? And I mean, she couldn't have took a breath, and I'm down. I thought, good, he's got learning disabilities. You can't ask him that. And I actually felt really sorry for her, because I thought, Carolyn, that was a little, yeah. But you're so defensive of them, because you just think, he doesn't know what you're saying to him. He can't answer. And, you know, and that's like one example, isn't it? You know, he looks like a 7-year-old, but his IQ is way down there. He probably functions at a 3-year-old, lower for some things. Hard. It is hard. You are managing other people's expectations as well as trying to parent in a way that a lot of people don't parent. You know, we obviously try and therapeutic parent as much as we can. You can't do it 24/7. It's impossible. But therapeutic parenting looks like you're super soft, like you don't care, especially if your kid's just gone and whacked another one. You know, I'm not hitting them back. I'm not putting them, that's probably the level of where we're at. And to other people, they might not think that that level of punishment's enough. I'm not really into punishing him. It doesn't work. And
I guess one of the challenges is that it puts you on outside of kind of societal norms, doesn't it? That everyone's got an opinion about your parenting. Everyone's got a judgment mm-hmm. about what you're doing right, what you're doing wrong. And it takes a level of thick, like real resilience for you to kind of just either zone out that.
It does, and it's took a while for me to get here. It's took a long time for me to get here, to not care what people think. You know, now I'd quite happily explain to someone, this is why he's done it. You know, he's got special needs. You know, I am more than happy to explain it to people. sometimes I feel like, oh, like maybe he's given them too much information. But if you're trying to build up a rapport so these kids can have a relationship, sometimes people need an amount of information to understand where we're coming from. And then in turn, to help their kids help him. You know, we spend so long trying to get our son to fit into society. You know, other people need to let their children help him fit in. You know, it's not all about him fitting in. Actually, you know, we need a bit more inclusion, don't we? You know, we found inclusive football clubs, which the football mums chat there is a million times better than any other football club you'll go to, because they're just normal. No one cares what reading level your kid's on, because they really don't. You know, oh, how are they doing? Well, everyone knows how they're doing, don't they? It's just so normal. And I love it. Meeting up with other adoptive mums, we celebrate things that other normal parents wouldn't even look at, like, you know, a play date that's been rocky for 2 hours, but in the last half an hour, he shared his toy with this other kid. We will properly take that and fly with that. We'll not look at the 10-minute restraint on the sofa, the swearing at the other kids. We'll just forget that because there's no point. You know, it's your life changes completely, doesn't it? And I do think everything happens for a reason. And, you know, this was the path we were meant to go down. Otherwise, we wouldn't be down it, would we?
So you've gone from, you know, this hopeful, optimistic adoptive parent to a send campaigner, from by the sound of it. Take those chops. I mean, it's a remarkable story. What does the future hold for you as a family? What do you think about the future?
I just hope that, you know, this year we've forced ourselves to put us and him and our family in situations that we know is uncomfortable, we know he struggles with. I just hope we do more of that. We've got a big fight on our hands for education, to get the school that we really want for him. It's hard to even get excited about things when you know how much of a battle you've got. But, you know, we've got here. We'll get there. I think you take every day as it comes. You pick your golden moments, your diamond moments, and the rest just stays behind. Otherwise, you'd just dwell on it, wouldn't you? You do your best.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever you can do to help, you do. And the rest, you've just got to let go. So if we could have our time again, knowing all of the challenges, knowing the issues we're going to have, we still would do this again. It's not what we thought it was going to be. But that's okay. We're happy with that. He's ours.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you've been so honest, and you know, as I start every conversation, I don't always know where we'll end up, but I think you've been really frank in relation to your own experience, but also in the challenges that you all face as a family, and really appreciate your time. Thank you so much, and look after yourself.
Oh, thank you.